Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is John Batchelor, conversation with my friend Malcolm Hohnlein and our conversation with Khalid Aboutoma of the Gatestone Institute, who is very well informed of the West Bank, for many years a Jerusalem Post correspondent, watching the Palestinians. And here he deals with the international furor about the Hamas war, recommending a two-state solution from the 20th century, recommending ceasefire, recommending Palestinian leadership. And Khalid, who is extremely well informed of all the players, is surprised by this sudden outside interest in a two-state solution, pointing to the fact that Gaza is a Palestinian state. And here's Khalid Aboutoma from Jerusalem, writing for Gatestone Institute and other distinguished publications.
Yeah, no, it's so pathetic. I mean, it's just with the way they're, the thing with Gaza, the Ukraine, I mean, it's just so ridiculous. And it's just really upsetting.
David, what is your speaker? What are you on a phone? Is that it?
Yeah, I'm on an iPhone. Is it okay? Yeah, I turned off the video because I wanted to.
Yeah, the video, are you using the handset or the headset?
I don't have a headset. I'm just used speaking into an iPhone.
Okay, it's better now. Whatever you're doing now is the best.
Okay, I brought it closer to my mouth.
Yeah, that sounds much. That sounds like David Albright now.
Okay, good.
All right.
Unless you wanted it to be somebody else, then tell us.
No. Someone just brought out a video of me when I was 27 speaking at some event, speaking to a crowd, which I have no memory of. I didn't recognize myself, or finally had to listen three times to recognize my voice. So,
it's not a good idea to look back that far.
Yeah, no, it was my wife, so it's taunting me.
It's a good thing to marry a younger woman, right?
Yeah.
Okay, John, let's go.
Where? Yes,
we're going to talk about the IEA meeting last week. We'll talk about the production.
Yeah, that's what I needed to know. IAEA of last week. My understanding was there wasn't much attention to the Iranian promise not to go past 90%. Is that correct, David?
Well, stands. I mean,
I want to frame how I open this.
Okay. Yeah, not 90%, but just not much. There's no energy to or no willpower to confront Iran on its multiple violations.
Okay.
And its refusal to cooperate with the IAEA on a range of issues.
All right, here's what I will say then. I've been told that the U.S. in negotiations in some fashion with Tehran has allowed money to flow to Tehran in exchange for the promise, the certainty that Iran will not enrich its uranium to 90% or higher. That's what I've been told. Okay.
Yeah, I have not heard that. I mean, I have not heard that.
Well, I don't want to say.
Nor have I.
Richard Goldberg reports it for FTD. Let me go to 90.
Well, why don't you quote him or do something? But I mean, I have not heard that. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't hear, but that is very murky what's going on in the nuclear. And a lot of it isn't going on at all. It's really focused on some grand deal involving Israel, Saudi Arabia.
All right. So I will say that enriching uranium. Well, I want to say something correct.
Because the thing is that they would limit, maybe just say they'd limit their program in some way, because like it's the U.S. is clearly hiding things, and then they get little things that don't really matter. Like the whole thing on stopping 60%, but that's not really what it meant. I mean, you know, they would still make it, blend some of it down, but they'd blend it down to 20%, which is about the same as 60%.
All right, I'll come at it this way. I've heard that Washington is talking directly to Tehran about what is an acceptable level of enrichment, but I lost track there, so can you help me? All right?
Okay.
Five. This is 9.5 minutes for tonight. Thank you, David. Five, four, three, two, one. This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, the Islamic Republic of Iran, the suspect nuclear weapons program, a focus for many years for the IAEA, the nuclear watchdog of the United Nations. We welcome David Albright, American physicist. Most importantly, he is the founder of the non-governmental NGO Institute for Science and International Security. He's our informant on proliferation of atomic weapons. David, a good evening to you. I have read and heard that the Washington administration, in conversation with the leadership in Tehran, have been assured that at some point Iran will stop enriching uranium, whether it's 60% or 90%, I lose track. I've heard that. Is that a significant fact when we come to the reawakening of the JCPOA? Because I can remember the days when it was 5%. Good evening to you, David.
Good evening. It's very murky, and often these, I don't know, sub-deals or small deals that the administration is negotiating are often worth a lot less from our point of view in terms of nuclear limitations. You may get us, let's say, commitment not to make 90%. Well, Iran knows that if they make 90%, the European Union will finally do something aggressive. And so if the U.S. gets a commitment like that, it doesn't really mean anything. They're not going to go to 90% unless they're breaking out. And if they break out, then all bets are off. So I think there's a lot of suspicion that the administration will seek out some minimal thing from the Iranian government and then give fairly significant payback, like $5 billion released for the Iranian regime. So it's just very hard to figure this stuff out, and often we're less than impressed by the result.
Malcolm?
So can you, first of all, maybe clarify about the reports of the $10 billion that were released in terms of Iraq's payment for energy to Iran, which in effect, if true, means that they get $10 billion. And secondly, to look at the implications of Iran's ability now, where as opposed to, let's say, where we were a year ago, the ballistic missile capacity seems to increase, certainly the enrichment, the levels, and that the Russian ambassador is the one to point this out. What an anomaly that their closest ally in the IAEA is the guy who tells us that they're enriching at 84%.
Well, it's, you know, Russia's being disingenuous too. I mean, they're a key force in blocking the IAEA inspectors from doing a thorough job. That they have made it very hard for the IAEA to work in Iran. In the Board of Governors, they're a very strong voice to attack the IAEA for overreaching on its authorities when it's well within its authorities. And they certainly are working to undermine any effort by the European Union members and the United States to have a resolution. And so they just make any progress costly. And so I think it's a little bit of a disingenuous comment. Now, in terms of the money from Iraq, I mean, the U.S. makes these payments and gets very little for them, and you have this overriding blanket of we don't want to provoke Iran. You know, we can't do anything that will provoke Iran. It's being played out right now in the European Union, where Germany and France want to apply more sanctions to Iran because it's obviously not complying with the nuclear deal. It's noxious, supporting proxies. I mean, it can go on and on and on. And yet you have strong forces in the European Union say, no, don't do it. That'll provoke Iran to do something. And so the Biden administration suffers from this mindset tremendously. And so, you know, they give the rewards, but they don't demand anything. They don't increase the pressure. So it's a cycle that is only hurting the United States and I would say worldwide interest. I mean, obviously not Russia, but they're more and more just a pariah state.
David, I've been learning about Rosatom, how it sells uranium ore to the U.S., how it's building breeder reactors in China. Does it have a presence, a significant presence in Iran? Is it side by side with the Iranian regime? Rosatom.
Very much so. Yeah, very much so. I mean, it sold them the Bushehr 1 reactor. It's building Bushehr 2 and 3. It's very much involved in the operation and safety improvements necessary at Bushehr 1. It's kind of a good deal for Rosatom. They sell Iran a nuclear reactor that has multiple safety problems, and then they collect the money to improve the safety. So it's very much involved, and it's sold a reactor to Iran that Iran's infrastructure, electricity grids, its culture of safety was not prepared for. And Rosatom does that around the world. It's willing to sell a big nuclear power reactor to Laos, Sudan, you know, countries that are, if there were an accident, wouldn't know what to do. And so Rosatom is what I would call a bottom feeder. And then you add into that that it's complicit in the seizure of the Zaporizhia nuclear power station. It's just a bad player, and from my point of view, deserves to be sanctioned much more than it is.
Is that an issue in Washington? Do they connect that to the doubts about Iran, that what we have here is Rosatom represents the aggressor state in Europe? Does anybody put that together?
I think members of the Hill do, and there was a hearing recently on the House side, the House Foreign Affairs Committee, that's putting that together and is trying to move forward legislation that would increase work to reduce our dependency on Rosatom and to put sanctions on more of its entities. And an example I didn't mention earlier is we all worry about these Shahid 136 kamikaze drones that Iran provides to Russia. Russia then uses against the civilian infrastructure in Ukraine. Rosatom is involved in making those drones. It has a factory that makes it's called carbon fiber that goes into the airframe, and they're totally involved in knowing what they're doing. And so here you have Rosatom actively supporting the military production infrastructure of Russia that's then used against Ukraine. And so Rosatom is a irresponsible player. And I think people here are waking up to that more and starting to think that it is time to break our connection with it.
Malcolm, we have a couple of minutes.
The relationship of Iran, China, and Russia, the joint exercises we saw, how does this relate to both the positioning in the IAEA, but more importantly, in Iran's overall willingness to defy the West?
Iran wouldn't be as successful defying the West if they didn't have Russia actively working on their side and China in the background not willing to join the West. So it's created an impasse that the IAEA is trying to work its way through. And that's why it's so important for the Biden administration to be much tougher and stronger and firmer with Iran. Because Russia and China are, and certainly we know Iran is, and it's sort of never give an inch mindset there. And West, unfortunately, particularly led by the U.S., is always give an inch. And so that dynamic has to change if we're going to turn this around.
David, quickly, we just have 30 seconds. Right now, the IAEA, has it thrown up its hands in despair over Iran's provocations and deceptions? 30 seconds, David.
Yeah, the IA is certainly sounding the alarm multiple times. And so, but I don't think they're not going to give up. They're going to keep at it, but they desperately need the support of the Europeans and the United States and the rest of the world. There are many members to the IA. So that's, it's really time for much more support for what they're doing, but they'll never give up.
David Albright, founder of the NGO Institute for Science and International Security, Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batchelor. Hey, David, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. Take care.
That uplifting report.
Very consistent. A little bit.
More of this later.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.